This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Living in the land of economic anxiety from sea to shining sea. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, but first a key development on Puerto Rico and the mess with its debt. Legislation to help Puerto Rico restructure more than $70 billion it owes passed in the U.S. Senate last night. President Obama is expected to sign the bill by tomorrow, which is the deadline when the territory was set to default on $2 billion worth of payments to its bondholders. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports on next steps.
The bill passed with bipartisan support, but not everybody was happy. A major issue is the establishment of a federal board to oversee Puerto Rico's finances. Some, like Puerto Rican Senator Ramon Luis Nieves, say the board won't bring any money to the island.
We are on our 10th year of our recession. If you talk to any economist, they will tell you that we're not on a recession anymore. This is a depression.
So Puerto Rico has to figure out a way to generate revenue. Charles Venator Santiago is an associate professor at the University of Connecticut. He says this bill will put a pause on bondholders suing the Puerto Rican government. Other than that, it addresses the symptoms, not the problem.
I don't think it's going to resolve anything other than perhaps stall litigation, enable some debt restructuring, and begin a process of responding or paying back some of the debt.
He says the next step is figuring out a way to bring investment to the island. Puerto Rico's credit rating is pretty awful. Restructuring and repayment are the first steps in a long battle to restore that faith. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
This week on Marketplace, we're exploring the latest results from the Marketplace Edison Research Poll. One way we measure how we feel about the economy is through something we devised with professional pollsters called the Marketplace Economic Anxiety Index. It gauges financial stress, and the anxiety is going up. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has the story.
The economy is ticking along, but our anxiety index is ticking up, especially for young people. People like Kyle Ojima here in Washington, D.C., who walked me to his local coffee shop, one of several he frequents so he can use the Wi-Fi to apply for jobs. Dozens of them.
There's like three different coffee shops I go to because it's weird if I go to the same one every day.
At this one, Kyle tells me why he scored so high on our anxiety index. He's 28, recently finished a master's program, and he'll have to start paying back his $60,000 in student loans soon.
I think my body reacts more than my head does, if that makes sense. So, for instance, I didn't have white hair like 6 months ago, and I don't sleep much.
About a third of people in our poll told us their financial situation caused them to lose sleep. Carl Van Horn at Rutgers wrote a book, well, several books, on the American workforce.
We've created millions of jobs and steady growth, but there's still that hangover, if you will, of anxiety that was related to the devastation they experienced. And then there's the uncertainty about what's going to happen next.
That lasting devastation of the recession isn't just affecting young people.
There you go. All this was my mom and dad's. Isn't it beautiful?
Meet 72-year-old Susan Perkins of Prescott, Arizona, who scored a nudge higher than Kyle on our anxiety index. She says she lost her life savings, about $400,000 in the real estate crash. So she's selling some of her family jewelry to help pay bills.
So I don't know what, you know, they're talking about that the economy has leveled out. It hasn't leveled out for me.
She works in an antique booth, renovates mobile homes, has a reverse mortgage, and gets some Social Security. But it's still not enough, which is why she sold her father's silver bolo ties, her mother's turquoise-studded necklace.
I'm having to sell almost everything my parents gave me. It feels like I've let my parents down.
She was hoping interest rates would go up so she could make a bit more off her meager savings, but after Brexit, that may not happen anytime soon. Perkins says if she's careful, she has enough money to last her about five more years. After that, she says, who knows? In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
We're exploring the results from our polling all this week. Marketplace.org has more of the data and more of our reporting. People who hold shares in the theater chain Carmike Cinemas will decide today whether to accept AMC Entertainment's $1.1 billion offer for the company. The deal would create the largest movie chain in the U.S., more than 8,000 theaters, to be owned by China's Dalian Wanda Group, Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
Here in the U.S., theater attendance is pretty much stagnant. Cinema owners can only dream of Chinese-level growth. So what does Wanda Group want with our theaters? Michael Curtin is a film professor at UC Santa Barbara.
They have a very big effect on how the industry operates.
Theaters decide which films get shown, which get promoted. Industry influence that Wanda Group wants.
I think what they're trying to do is create a global footprint as far as the film and eventually, I think, television business as well.
Wanda already owns television and film production company Legendary Entertainment. It's also betting big on theme parks, with plans to build more than a dozen in China and around the world. John Zhang is a marketing professor at the Wharton School.
So they actually want to be like almost like a Disney.
Disney Plus, even. But some of Carmike's biggest shareholders are unhappy with the terms of the AMC deal, and U.S. regulators still have to weigh in. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And billionaire George Soros briefed the European Parliament in Brussels today, comparing the effects of Britain's decision to leave the EU to the great 2008 mortgage market collapse. It will, he said flatly, accelerate deflationary trends, rather an understatement if his view is correct. He called on specifically German economic policymakers to support a Eurozone-wide budget that would do more to stimulate the economies there. Soros made billions in 1992, betting spectacularly against the British pound. This time, Soros said he did not speculate against sterling. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.